How many of you have noticed, like me, that it's a lot easier to love Jesus than love people? How many of you have noticed that? Jesus is sinless, and Jesus is perfect, and people are not. And, you know, maybe you've noticed that like I have. Have you noticed, ladies, that your husband's not perfect? Guys, have you noticed your wife isn't perfect? And I would not recommend saying amen right there. How many of you parents have noticed your kids aren't perfect? How many of you have picked up on that? Okay, all right. Have you guys noticed that, you know, your boss isn't perfect? Your coworkers aren't perfect? Your friends aren't perfect? How many of you have noticed your pastor's not perfect? Don't say amen too loud. But, you know, people will disappoint you, won't they? People will let you down. People will do you dirty. People will talk behind your back. People will cuss you out. People will stop loving you. People will walk out on you. People will honk their horn at you and shake their fist if you're texting at a green light. Amen? And Jesus doesn't do any of those things. See? But yet, even though it's so true, did you know that your relationship with the Lord is tied to this issue of your relationship with people? In fact, God said that you cannot, it's in your handout, that you cannot sincerely love the Lord and not love people. You cannot sincerely love the Lord and not love people. That's what the Bible teaches. 1 John 4, verse 20. If you would, I hope you're there. Go to 1 John 4 if you haven't turned there yet. If you're using the church Bible, the page number's at the top of your handout. And I want everyone to go to 1 John chapter number 4. And our text is really, you know, verses 7 through 11, but we're going to kind of look at some other verses here too. So we're going to begin by looking at verse 20. So go to 1 John 4. 1 John chapter 4, and look at verse number 20. All right? It says, "If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen?" So according to the Bible, loving the Lord, loving people, they go together. They're intricately woven together. Now, what does that tell me? That tells me that loving people is a really big deal as far as God is concerned. In fact, God went as far as to say, we saw it on the video, that loving people is the distinguishing mark that you belong to Him. Look at verse number 7, same chapter. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God." And so our mission, church, if you look up here at the banners, is we're going to learn the Bible and then hopefully go out and live what we're learning. And as we do that, it changes our lives. And as the Bible changes our lives, what should happen, if it's really God changing us, is it should lead to a deeper love for the Lord and a deeper love for people. The Bible teaches this. Look at 1 John chapter number 3. Go back one chapter, verse 14. Look at that verse. It says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren." Okay? And then it says, "He that loves not his brother," look at that. He that, you're not loving your brother? He says, you are abiding in what? Death. Now, that's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? Because he's basically saying, if you aren't loving, you aren't living. You are like a walking dead person. How many of you have ever seen a zombie movie? You know, a zombie. You're like a zombie, you know. You're like, if you're not loving, you're like a walking dead person. You're like a zombie, you know. When we love, that shows that we have divine life. Now, something that's important, that is that important, I need to know, okay, well, how do I truly show love to people then? And we began last week to look at some strong resolutions that really need to become part of our heart and soul. They need to become part of our inner being. They need to be some resolutions that really we remind ourselves of often. And the first resolution we looked at last week was this: I will accept others. That's a biggie. In fact, I don't say this often, but if you missed that message last week, go to the homepage, crbible.com, and watch or listen to that message from last week, because that was the first resolution: I will accept others. We struggle with acceptance, don't we? Many of us feel rejection in our life. We have a hard time believing that we're acceptable. And you can't give something that you don't have. So therefore, we have trouble showing acceptance because we don't feel acceptance. Last week, we looked at the answer to that. And we looked at how that we are accepted completely and totally and unconditionally in Christ before God. And as we begin to understand our acceptance, then we can begin to give that to other people. And again, it doesn't mean that we accept everything that people do. It doesn't mean that we condone their behavior. But it means that we accept them as a person, as a human being, as someone made in God's image. And so last week, we talked about this extensively. I will accept others. And what a key to marriage, to child rearing, and all these things. So again, if you missed that, go back, catch that online, because very important. But this morning, I want to focus on the second resolution. Go ahead and write this in. Number two, I will not only accept others, I will serve others. I will serve others. Now let's go to our passage, and let's look at 1 John 4. Make sure you're in chapter 4. And go to verses 9 and 10. All right? It says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent. There it is again. And sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, did you notice that two times in a row, it says God loved and God what? Sent. Say that with me. God loved and God sent. What does that tell me? Boom. Right away, that lets me know that love has a lot to do with action, right? I mean, it's easy to say I love you. Now, some people I know have a hard time saying that, but in theory, in essence, that's easy to say. Yeah, I love you. Right? But truly loving is not so easy. God loved and God sent Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, into this world. Why did he do it? Look at verse 10 again. Look at that. It says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son, why? To be the propitiation for our sins. Big word, propitiation. What does it mean? I looked it up. It means atonement. Atonement. Jesus made atonement for us, for our sins. Guys, have you ever gotten in the doghouse and have you ever brought home flowers to your wife as atonement for your sin? Right? That's the idea of the word, right? Atonement means to make amends for a wrong that has been done. To make amends for a wrong that's been done. For example, we might use it in a sentence and say, the parents wanted to make atonement for their child's behavior. What does that mean? The parents wanted to try and repair their kid's wrongdoing. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ came to do. The Bible says he's the propitiation for our sins. In other words, he came to make atonement for our sins. And how did he do that? He took the punishment that you and I would have had to have taken for our sins, and that is death. He died on the cross, and he made atonement to God for the wrongs that we have done against God. Jesus didn't do anything wrong. He said he always did the will of the Father, and he did. Those who knew him the best said so. How many of you would agree the people who live with you know you the best? Yeah. The people who live with you know your shortcomings, your sins, your failures, and all those things, right? The people who live with Jesus day in and day out and travel with him said, we never saw him sin. We never saw him do anything wrong. Look at the guy who wrote this, John, right? Apostle John, one of the 12. Go back to chapter 3. Look what he said about Jesus. Chapter 3, verse 5. Chapter 3, verse 5, he said, and you know that he was manifested, Jesus was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no, what? Sin. Right. And so Jesus Christ committed the ultimate act of service for you and I. In your handout, it says he gave his life for us. He gave his life for us. Now, why would he do that? Why would he do that? In your handout, it says there's one word reason why he would do that. Can anybody take a stab at what you think that one word is? How'd y'all know that? Love. Yes, write that in, love. John 15, 13 says, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Go back to 1 John 3, verse 16. Chapter 3, verse 16. Great verse. Look at that verse. 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. That's how we perceive the love of God. He laid down his life for us. Now, church, there is something very powerful here that we really don't want to miss. True, divine, Christ-like love causes you to want to serve others, not be served. My flesh doesn't like that. And obviously yours doesn't either, because the house isn't resounding with amens right now, is it? Your flesh doesn't like it any better than me. The fact that true love leads us to serve and not be served. My flesh doesn't like that. My flesh wants to sit on my back end and be served. Can I get an amen, huh? Yeah, I want to sit on my back end, man, watch everybody else serve. Right? And the thing is this, Jesus' entire mindset revolved around serving others. And I want us to look at a couple passages that really are kind of like a window that will allow us to see into the mind of Jesus, to see into his thought patterns. Look with me in your handout. I've got them right there in your handout. And the first one there is at the bottom, Luke 22, 27. Now look at that verse. This is Jesus speaking. He says, whether is greater? What's greater? He that sits at meat or he that serves? So who's greater, he said? He that sits at meat or he that serves? Is not he that sits at meat? But I am among you as he that what? Serves. Turn your hand out over and look at the next one, Matthew 20, 28. Look at that one. Even, isn't that a great verse? It's amazing. He says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. That word minister means to serve. And to give his life a ransom for many. Do you see it, church? Nobody loved more than Jesus ever. And nobody served more than Jesus ever. His whole life was lived that way. Please don't get the idea, because some of you may not know, you're not that familiar with your Bible, and you may not have read the life of Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or maybe you're not in Pastor Rich's class on Sunday night on the footsteps of Jesus, and you may not realize this, but Jesus' whole life revolved around serving. It wasn't just the end of his life when he died on the cross that he said, well, you know, I guess I'll do that. It wasn't like he, you know, lived like a king in a palace and he ate rich food, and he wore lavish clothes, and, you know, he had servants all around him, serving him during his life, and then finally at the end, he was like, well, okay, I guess I'll get up here, and I guess I'll go, and I guess I'll die for him. There's no other way. No, his entire life was lived with a servant's heart. In fact, something that is interesting is that, did you know that from 12 years old to 30 years old, there is no record of anything in the life of Christ in the Bible? We don't know. Now, the thing is this, though, here's what I believe, and I believe it's based on Scripture, and I'm going to share it with you in a minute. From 12 to 30 years old, there's nothing recorded because Jesus was simply serving in his dad's carpenter shop. In Matthew 13, 55, he goes to his hometown of Nazareth. He started his ministry now. He started his ministry at 30 years old. He goes back to his hometown. The people who watched him grow up, they didn't see this coming. He's doing mighty works. He's teaching as one with authority in the synagogues. They didn't see that coming because there's what they said. They said, is this not the carpenter's son? So what does that tell me? That's what he was identified as. He just served in his dad's carpenter shop. How many of you guys would like to have something built by Jesus? Wouldn't that be pretty nice, huh? You know? But, I mean, he just served in his dad's carpenter shop. They said, is this not, you know, they're like, what's up with this? In other words, there was nothing during that age from 12 to 30 that would have indicated to them this. In other words, he, in his teenage years and in his young adult years, Jesus did not use his position or his power in order to get people to serve him, but rather he served. He served in his dad's carpenter shop. And that serving mindset that he had his whole life took him all the way to the cross, where there he made a full and a complete payment for our sins so that we could be forgiven and we could be freed from the penalty of our sin. Do you see that love and service? They go hand in hand. He loved, he served. Say that with me. He loved, he served. They go hand in hand. And so if we want to grow in love, we have to make this second resolution. I will serve others. I will accept others. That's what we talked about last Sunday. I'm going to accept people. I am not going to live a life over here on an island. I'm going to live a life of openness and acceptance of others. And I'm going to let them in my world, okay? But then also, I have to serve others. I have to live a life of servanthood. And when you serve others, listen, when you serve other people, it demonstrates to them that your heart is full of love. I'm telling you, believe me, it sends a message that will not be missed. For example, I'll give you an example, just, you know, something I can apply right at home. If Denise has worked hard and she's, you know, cooked this humongous meal for our family, which she does a lot, and she makes this big meal, and you know, she spent several hours making a meal for us to be able to enjoy it for 15 minutes, right? Didn't that just kill you, you know? And so we all sit down and we gobble this food down. What does that say? That says, I love you. Now, I got to tell you, when I get up and clean and do the dishes, that says, I love her back. I'm such a klutz. The other day, we were at San Diego Grill with the hookers. That didn't sound right. Wait. Can we edit that off the video? I was there with Alan and Debbie Hooker. That's a family in our church, okay? When somebody says, hey, Dan, where are you going? I'm going with the Hookers. I got to be careful, amen? But anyway, our family went with Alan and Debbie Hooker to San Diego Grill. And you know how they come and they take your dishes and everything, you know, at the end, and when you're all done eating. And so this little teenage girl comes and she's getting our dishes, you know. Well, I'm going to try to help. And so I'm getting all the dishes, you know, and I'm getting them and I'm stacking them. The only problem is the silverware was on each one. So as she's going to get them and I'm stacking them, they're sliding off the table. So this poor girl is trying to catch these plates that are falling off the table. The silverware is going all over the ground. I'm trying to catch knives and forks as they're falling. And she's on the ground and she goes, she gets everything. And I looked at her and I went, I didn't help much, did I? No lie. She looked right up at me and she went, not much at all. She goes, not much at all. But we all started laughing. She was a good sport. But I was just trying to serve, amen? Just trying to help. But, you know, when we go out of town and we come home and the boys have cleaned the entire house, that says, man, we love you guys. Really, it says we love you, Mom, is what it says. Dad doesn't really care, but... So what am I saying? Love causes us to want to serve others. Notice I said want. You see, it's not something we have to do, but we want to do. And that's exactly what the Bible teaches for this dispensation of grace. We don't have to serve. Look with me at Galatians 5, 13 and 14. It's in your handout. It says, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. He says, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. And then everybody say the bold part with me. It says, but what? By love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, He says, you love your neighbor as yourself. You see, let me explain that. When he says we have liberty, what that means is we're free from the Old Testament law system. It's what we talked about last week. The Old Testament law system cannot condemn us. We are accepted in Christ. So nothing can change that. So sometimes, someone may say, well, I don't have to serve my husband. I don't have to serve him. I don't have to serve my husband. And a guy may say, I don't have to serve my wife. Our kids may say, I don't have to serve my parents, or I don't have to serve my coworkers. I don't have to serve up there at church. And you know, the answer to that is you're right. You don't have to. Nobody, including God, will make you serve. Now, in the Old Testament, it was different. You didn't serve and you didn't do certain things. There were immediate repercussions. But Paul says, don't use your freedom in Christ as an excuse to simply serve your flesh and have a selfish, me-first attitude, but by love, serve one another. What's he saying? He's saying, we're free in Christ. You're free to love. You're free in Christ. You're free to serve. It's like that song, you know, that we do where it says, we are free. We did it last Sunday. We are free to love as God has loved. We are free to give as he gave. We are free from sin. We are free to begin to forgive as he forgave. We are free. In other words, we have freedom in Christ that sets us free from selfishness. It sets us free from a me-first attitude. It sets me free from self-centeredness. That's the idea. Because that stuff's destructive, you know? It's not going to help you in life. And so it sets you free. The motivation is love. Christ loved us and gave himself for us. So now that great love of Christ lives in us. And it should provide us the motivation to serve others. We don't serve God and we don't serve other people because we have to. In your handout, it says we do it because love causes us to want to. Love causes us to want to. 2 Corinthians says the love of Christ compels us. The love of Jesus Christ compels us. Now, let's just get practical for a minute. What does this look like for me and you? All right, here's what it looks like. Key statement in your handout. Here's what it looks like. Wherever we find ourselves, we look for ways to serve others, all right? Wherever we find ourselves. So that means if I'm at home, I'm looking for ways to serve. If I'm at work, I'm looking for ways to serve beyond just getting a paycheck, beyond just what's expected. I'm looking to really serve at work. That means that I'm looking to serve at school. I'm looking to serve at college. I'm looking to serve at church. In other words, wherever you are, that's the place to serve. This isn't a church thing. This isn't a Sunday gig, all right? It's a mindset that goes with us wherever we go. One of the things, I try to live that. You know, I don't always succeed, but one of the things I'm in the habit of doing is, if I go to Starbucks, I get my coffee, and then you go over to the condiment bar, and they got cream and sugar and all that, and I put a little cream in mine. So I put a little cream in there. Well, if you know me, inevitably, there's going to be coffee and cream on the counter when I'm done. And so I just grab a napkin, and I wipe it down. And then I will wipe down the entire condiment bar. I do. I'll just wipe down the whole thing. It takes 30 seconds. So I just wipe the whole thing down, make sure it looks real neat when I leave. The other day, the manager noticed, and he offered me a job. That's not a lie. That really happened. He's like, man, you want, he know, I didn't even know he was looking at me. He's like, you want a job? You're doing a good job there. If you guys come in some Sunday and I'm not here, they'll be like, oh, pastor's working at Starbucks. But, you know, you go in a restroom, you leave it the way. You know what I'm saying? You have that servant attitude wherever you go. This thing goes with you wherever you go. So wherever you find yourself, find a place to serve. Of course, we're at church every Sunday, so you find a place to serve. You're at home, you're serving your family. You're at work, you're trying to serve your boss, your coworkers. You're trying to go above and beyond. You're at Starbucks, you're at Dunkin' Donut, you're at a coffee shop, you're trying to serve. You just serve. You leave the building today, you head to your car, and you see a piece of trash, what do? Just pick it up. Why? Serve. I just want to serve. It's a mindset. See, if I love, by love, serve one another. Now, what's this look like for us as a church? You know, let's talk corporately now. What does this look like for us as a church? Well, what it looks like for us as a church, this idea of loving through serving, is it's the mindset in our church family here that we are here to be servants like Christ to our community. That's what that means. We're here to be servants to our community. We should not want to be the best church in our community. What I mean by that is we're not here with the attitude, yo, yeah, y'all come see us and we'll impress you, man. We got the best show in town. No, we don't want to be the best church in our community. We want to be the best church to our community. Y'all see the difference? We want to be the best church to our community. That means that we realize that God's called us to show forth Christ as we serve our community. We've got so many neat things this year planned. Of course, we did the Super Bowl thing last Sunday for the poor and needy. We've got, I mentioned to you, the big Easter community event we're doing for our families in our community. We've got a single mom's outreach. We've got a baseball camp that we're doing. We've got vacation Bible school. We got a K-5 marathon that's going to benefit children with cancer this year we're going to do. We've been hit with that, haven't we? Several times. We're going to do a huge candy maze outreach in the fall around Halloween time. We've got Walk Through Bethlehem, of course. We've got a huge fall teen outreach plan for our community. Neat thing that Clint's been working with the Franzinis on is a thing called Anthony's Stocking. Of course, the Franzinis lost their beloved son, Anthony, and they want to use that to reach people. We want to start a thing in our community called Anthony's Stocking, where we're helping poor and needy kids in this community that won't have a Christmas otherwise. What am I saying? Is that by love, serve one another. You see, our church needs to have that attitude, that mind of Christ. And that is that this isn't just about us. We want to be the best church to our community. We want to have that servant's heart. And everything we do, we want it to have others in mind. God's word teaches us that our relationship with the Lord is tied to this issue of loving people. And the Bible teaches that if we aren't loving people, then we aren't really loving the Lord. And if we aren't loving the Lord and loving people, then we aren't truly living. But in your handout, it says that true love leads us to serve like Christ. And then it asks a question at the bottom of the handout, and I really want you to take this question seriously, and that is this: what are some ways that you can show love this week by serving others? You know what's cool about this? Is you don't have to wait till next Sunday to put this into practice, right? You don't have to wait and say, well, I'm going to volunteer and serve at the Easter outreach. You don't have to wait till March 31st just to implement the message. You see, actually, you can start implementing this message wherever you leave the building today and go. Wherever you go, you can begin having that attitude of serving others. I'm going to love people by serving others. I'm going to look for ways to serve. I'm going to look for ways to serve. Remember the message series I did last year on picking up the towel? Jesus picked up the towel and washed the feet of his disciples. He served, and we challenged each other to pick up the towel. And that's it. It's that attitude of, I'm going to pick up the towel, man. I'm going to look for ways to serve wherever I am, whenever, and wherever I am. I'm going to look for ways to serve. Why? Right there. Because I love Jesus and because I love people. So let's do this. Let's just bow our heads right now.